Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, 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 hello. I think that was, what, seven hellos? I don't know. I didn't count. Anyway, the main point is hello and welcome to another episode. Let me just mention my podcast sponsor before we get started, and that's iTalkie. And the cool thing about iTalkie is that you can now have lessons, conversations with native English speakers and qualified teachers from the comfort of your own home. And iTalkie will connect you with teachers via Skype. And then you can have English lessons on your sofa. You can have English lessons in the kitchen. You can have English lessons at the office. You can conduct English lessons from the car if you want to. It's really, really convenient. So now you can actually squeeze in real conversations with native English speakers into almost any part of your day with the magic of the internet. It's not magic, is it? No, it's science. It's technology. Anyway, go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk, and then you can get started with iTalkie. And when you buy some lessons, iTalkie will send you a voucher which is worth 100 iTalkie credits. Okay, teacherluke.co.uk/talk, or click an iTalkie logo on my website. All right then, so let's now start this episode, and here is the jingle right now. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Now, the presidential election in the United States is about 1 month away. I'm sure that you're aware of that. You can't avoid the media coverage about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and all that stuff. It's about 1 month away from the time that I'm recording this episode, and I've been meaning to talk about this subject on the podcast for ages. So in this episode, you're going to hear me in conversation with a couple of American friends of mine who you might already know from their previous appearances on this podcast. So we sat down in my flat today to talk about the elections, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, their thoughts, feelings, opinions, and predictions on the whole thing. Now, the conversation that you're about to hear is very fast moving, with quite a lot of specific vocabulary about American politics. The conversation is quite passionate and opinionated in places. So I certainly hope that it's an interesting conversation for you to listen to, and that you enjoy hearing about this subject from two American people in their own words. Now, because it's so fast moving and we had so many things to say, I expect that this will be a difficult one for you to follow. I think this will be a challenging episode, okay? So if it's hard to keep up with, don't be surprised, all right? That's quite normal because I think this is a fast conversation for any learner of English to keep up with, unless you are at, you know, a particularly advanced level. Although, saying that, some of you might follow all of this without too many problems. I don't know. I predict it'll be difficult to experience. It'll be difficult to listen to. And if it is difficult, don't worry. That's quite normal. All right, then. So I don't want to go on about this anymore in the introduction here. Suffice to say that I know this is a fast-moving and opinionated conversation. So strap in, focus, listen carefully, and I hope you enjoy this conversation between me and a couple of American friends about the upcoming presidential election 2016. And here we go. Today on the podcast, I'm joined by my American friends, Sarah and Sebastian. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, the idea is that in this episode, we're going to talk about the American elections, the US presidential election, including, you know, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and stuff like that. So that's the idea. We're going to try and talk about that. Now, but before we get on to the politics, let's just talk to Sarah and Sebastian a little bit. So, hi, guys. How are you? Have I already asked you how you are?
No,
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
I was about to say it's kind of rude that you didn't ask us yet.
Okay. Well, how are you?
Good.
All right.
We are well.
You're both good?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, have you both been on this podcast before?
I believe so.
I have been on the podcast before. I was just told, I said, I've been on the podcast once, and you said, no, my episode was split into two, so that's like twice.
Yeah, that counts as two.
I don't even remember how many times I've been on the podcast.
Well, you had your first episode, which was called A Cup of Tea with Sebastian Marks.
Yeah, and we ate muffins.
We ate muffins or cookies or scones or something.
It was delicious. I just remember it being delicious.
Right. And then you were in the episode called The D-Day Diary.
Yeah, we were in Caen.
That place that I still can't pronounce,
Caen. Yeah.
Where we went for the D-Day celebrations and we talked about World War II.
Yeah, that was
That's
fun.
Cool.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I did not listen to that episode.
The war wasn't fun. The conversation was great.
No, the conversation, yeah, better than the war, I would
definitely
say.
Definitely. And then you, what else? You were in the bank robbery episode.
Yeah.
I did a bank robbery.
Yeah.
And is that it?
That might be it, but that's already three.
I'm like, I was on the show once. Sebastian's like, I've been on so many times, I just can't remember.
Technically, he's been on three episodes, Sarah, so don't get too jealous. You've been on two. Well, one that was divided
split into two.
Well, you're back now anyway.
I got some bang for my buck. I only had to come once.
You came once, but you got two. Two for one.
Two for one.
Two for the price of one. So let's see. So we know who you are already, right? So the main thing is that... I guess for the purposes of this episode, I brought you on because you're both American, right? You're from the United States. That's not the only reason, also. I like just having you around. But so you're from the United States, right? Which part of America are you from?
Well, this is always an interesting question because for me, I lived in Washington, D.C. for 7 years before I came to Paris. Mm-hmm. But I'm from North Carolina. But most people... They may have heard of North Carolina or Carolina, but then it just gets murky. So it's just easier to say Washington, D.C.
Okay.
But technically, I'm from the South.
You're from the South?
From the South.
Is that an important distinction to make?
Absolutely.
Why?
Yes.
We're going to hear from a Yankee now about Southern people, and I'm going to talk about Yankee people.
So wait, are people from the South different to people from, do you call it the North?
The North, yeah. Or the Midwest, or out west.
But it seems to me that there is the United States of America, and one part of that is called the South. But you don't have the North.
That's the Northeast.
The Northeast. Yeah. The Midwest. I'm from out west, or California.
The West Coast.
Yeah.
Okay. But North Carolina, despite having the word North in there, is actually in the South.
Yes, it is. Because there's two Carolinas. There's North Carolina and South Carolina.
Okay.
And they're both South.
And they're both in the South. So can you just give me like one or two key differences between like people in the South and people in... let's say the Northeast, like New York or something?
A real world example. So I find that people in the South tend to be more friendly and they take their time and they'll talk to you. Mm-hmm. And when I worked in Washington, D.C., I worked for a bank and I had to talk to a lot of people from New York. And usually, you pick up them, hi, how are you? You have your like polite moments and then you go into why you called someone.
Okay.
And working with these New York bankers, it was like, hello.
Like, let's get down to business.
Basically business like, right why now. Are you calling? And I remember I was like, oh, okay. That's like a small, not saying people from the North can't be nice, but it's just a different, I don't know.
Yeah,
we have a New Yorker here. So,
and besides that, the people from the South are racist.
And
like the people from the North aren't racist, please.
No. That's
everyone.
The Northerners have.
That is a cliche, an old cliche because there's
cliche,
associations
that's
with like.
Very nice, but racist. That's pretty much right.
You're like, and we are total assholes, but for equality.
Yeah,
right. So, okay, I get it now. That's it in a nutshell, basically. That people from the South are really nice and sweet, but a bit racist.
But they'll all vote for Donald Trump, whereas people from the Northeast
are fast talkers. They get down to business, but they're really
not racist.
They're not jerks. But their states will vote for Hillary Clinton.
So they're
jerks to the person right in front of them, but they'll vote Democrat.
They'll vote Democrat.
Okay. So is there a political distinction between the Southern states and the other states in the Northeast?
Well, I was just explaining this. There's red states and blue states.
Okay.
So in the U.S., if your state tends to vote Democrat, it's called a blue state. If it tends to vote Republican, it's a red state. And if it switches, it's called a swing state. So North Carolina basically is a red state, although it did vote for Obama in 2008, which was a big moment.
There are exceptions always.
And it's technically a swing state this year, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Okay. New York is a blue state.
Blue state.
So, Sebastian, you're from New York, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so New York generally is a blue state?
Yes. So, I don't remember. Well, not in my lifetime did New York ever vote Republican.
Okay. All right, then.
I don't think so.
I guess my listeners will know the basic distinction between Democrat and Republican. We might need to go through that. Let me just, before we do that, do you guys like follow politics generally? I mean, how much do you keep up with politics?
In general or American politics?
American politics.
Well, now because of the elections are going on a little bit, but I'm definitely not a specialist at all of politics.
Sarah?
But Sarah is a specialist. I know she's...
I used to work in politics.
Uh-huh. What did you do?
I was a fundraiser. I was a political fundraiser in Washington, D.C. And I was poli-sci. I studied political science at university. But I like to say I retired at 29.
and came to France.
I came to France. And I'm like a reform. I call myself a reformed politico because to really work in politics in D.C., you have to be very passionate about it. And I was always very interested, but not passionate about it.
Why weren't you so passionate about it? Because you're like, politics. It's
I mean, some people like live, eat, breathe. Like, let me put it this way. In my job, or in my boss, for example, I mean, you would go into his office. He would have C-SPAN on, which is the direct feed from the American government. So when they're in session, he'd have that on, or he'd switch it to one of the political networks. Plus, you have to read several newspapers a day. Like, there's special newspapers in D.C. that just cover politics called The Hill, Roll Call, Politico. So you got to read those, plus The Wall Street Journal, plus you got to know what's happening, like New York Times, Washington Post.
Okay.
So you need to really be on it. Like, you need to have digested the news before 8 a.m. So when you go to your first meeting at 8 a.m., you know what's happened.
You need to have digested it and then regurgitated it
and gone to the next.
Okay.
Because things happen. Because sometimes you would have like 8 a.m. meetings and I would show up and I'd be reading the news like on my way or whatever, because you don't want to show up and not know what happened last night at 11 o'clock if someone made a big vote on something.
So you need to be completely, when you're doing that job, you need to be completely on top of it all.
Yes.
Okay. So that's what you meant by passionate about politics.
Yeah, because if you don't love that, if you're not in the game, then that's a huge chore.
Yeah, you can't do it halfway.
No, you can't do it halfway.
Okay. The reason I asked you about, you know, how much you know about politics and stuff was to establish that you are basically two ordinary American people. I'm not sure that I've established.
I haven't lived in France. I've been in the States for several years.
Okay, let me put it this way. Like I said, that was my past life, and I've kind of checked out a little bit since I've been in France.
And so,
I've been in France for 12 years, so I'm not a normal American, let's say. Okay. But yes, I mean, I can talk
as an American.
As an American.
You still have an American passport?
I still do. And I don't know if you saw this, but news is that last week I got a letter, like a few days ago, that I'm French now.
You're French now, too. Congratulations.
Félicitations.
Yeah.
Well
That's
done.
That's amazing.
That means congratulations.
Yeah. So you're both French and American.
I am.
I'm not French.
No? Yet. Are you going to become?
I would like to be, yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And it would be both French and American. Dual citizenship.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, probably me too at some point because of Brexit.
Yeah.
The only reason.
Yeah. What happened there, Luke?
Oh, well, how much time do you have?
Is it like talking about the packs, like the eyes just start to roll back?
Exactly. Don't get me started on Brexit because I'll be going on for ages.
I know.
My listeners already know the whole thing. I've been through it.
Yeah.
Yes, and it's a bloody disaster. But, you know, we're trying to put a brave face on it. And who knows, maybe things are going to be all right in 10 years. You know, when we've hit rock bottom and bounced back up again.
Right.
Okay.
Sure. So, I just hope that this election is not our Brexit, because I really did not think that Britain was going to vote leave. And so I was in for a very bad shock that morning.
Right. Well,
and I hope that will not happen again on November 8th. It's yeah, the 8th, right? No, the
if, yeah.
Go on.
So, yes, it's November 8th. Well, okay, so I just come back to your initial question, which is what do we think about Trump and what
well, let me start by just establishing that when the election is happening, 8th okay. of November,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Which is about a month from now.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah. Now, Tuesday, the 8th of November, the two main candidates, obviously we all know, everyone must know, are Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Clinton for the Democrats and Trump for the Republicans, of course. Basically, what do you think about all this? as America, all right, because it's been an extraordinary election campaign, hasn't it? Because usually these American election campaigns are really over the top. They're very long, they're very expensive, and there's usually lots of drama. But this one has been extraordinary. So what do you think of the campaign so
well,
far?
Well, I think this year was very special. Like, I think the main reason why it was special was Trump. I mean, Trump was an outsider that no one expected to get as far as mm-hmm. he has. And when the initial like Republican debates were going on, everyone thought he was just, yeah, okay, he's there. You know, he'll be fun to have him, you know, because he'll kind of, you know, tease some people and give some, you know, animation to the whole thing. But, you know, it was pretty amazing how he kind of stole the thing away from everyone. And partly why, in my opinion, is because there wasn't any other really credible Republican candidate.
Yeah.
I think the Republicans are to be blamed for it. I mean, mm-hmm. the Republican Party, in the sense that they didn't really put someone else forward that really had their head on their shoulders, you know, and you know, so of course it kind of gave created fertile ground for Trump to exist. Yeah. And after a while, when you looked at all the other candidates, there wasn't necessarily another one. I mean, everyone thought it was going to be Jeb Bush.
Yeah, but he compared to Trump, he's like dead on arrival. He's like he's so dull.
So dull.
Cruz is nuts.
Yeah.
But not but a different brand of crazy than Donald Trump.
Yeah, but Cruz was nuts in the sense that he was evangelical?
Yeah.
Is that what?
Yeah.
And so it was too specific.
Right.
You know, it didn't really have a mind, which, you know, really pleased a lot of kind of what we call middle America.
Yeah.
But it didn't kind of
extends to a lot of other people,
other Republicans,
because Cruz was, as you said, evangelical Christian.
Yes.
He was kind of like a very religious person,
and he was one of these Tea Party people that came in 20, you know, I don't know if when he got into the Senate, if it was 2010 or 2012, but that after the election of Barack Obama, this Tea Party group emerge, this far right radical side that's saying we're Washington outsiders, and, you know, we're not your normal Republicans. And they didn't play nice with Republicans in the House and Senate either, so they weren't following along with the party line, and it made it difficult for the Republican Party was already starting to fracture a teeny bit, you know.
Yeah. So what we saw there then is a fractured Republican Party with no candidates that were really sort of viable. They all were kind of the same. And they're all very dull and boring.
Either dull and boring or crazy. Like, I mean, it was kind of, we had the whole spectrum.
Yeah. Like, you would think, I mean, it's funny because, like, when you think, what's like a good analogy? When you think like vanilla ice cream Republican candidate, it'd be like Mitt Romney or someone.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, Mitt Romney would have been great for the Republicans this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mitt Romney, I mean, when he.
Mitt Romney Obama, it's like, oh, come on. But right. Mitt Romney in this field of Republican candidates, it's like, wow, that Mitt Romney, he's not so bad.
He was like a really reasonable option.
He was kind of reasonable.
Yeah. Yeah. And
which is scary,
and that's saying something, because, you know, Mitt Romney is from what's the religion?
Mormon
family, and they're like, you know, this old Mormon family that sort of lived on the Mexican border, and, you know, all this weird stuff like that. You know, that his family apparently had to move to Mexico in order to continue having polygamy, right?
So really?
He comes from a family of Mormons.
I didn't know that his family was polygamous. Not all Mormons are polygamous.
Not all Mormons are polygamous, and I don't know if his family still are, but apparently, his family moved to Mexico in order to continue the traditions of Mormonism. So he comes from, like, you know, quite a radical religious background himself.
I'm surprised that Mexico, that's legal in Mexico.
I don't know. I think it's that whole gray area of, like, Mexico, Texas kind of place. Anyway.
Yeah, interesting.
So the Republican candidates this year were just even more crazy than normal or boring. And then you got Donald Trump at the front, who surprisingly managed to win all of the primaries.
All of them.
And he became
not all of them, but
they didn't want every state. But
okay,
he did well.
But he did very well, and so and then we end up with Trump in the news every single day, and just kind of controversy after controversy. Almost every week, he said something controversial.
Yes,
like
controversial meaning something offensive, racist, a blatant lie. Three things, not just controversial, like I'm provocative. It's like, no, I'm just sexist, racist, bigoted, crazy liar.
But he understood that, I mean, you know, there's an expression in English. What's the expression?
He's been in France for 12 years, ladies and gentlemen.
No pressure.
He's become French now, so that part of his brain has been wiped out.
I was about to say, no news is good news, but that's not what I wanted to say.
I know what you mean. All publicity is good publicity.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
The Trump motto.
Yeah,
for sure.
There's an expression.
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
There we go. There's no such thing as bad publicity. And so that's kind of his motto. And he's kind of right in that. And I think that was part of the reason why he won, is because we just couldn't stop talking about him.
Yeah. Mm.
And, you know, even before he was a candidate, everyone knew who Trump was, you know, because he wasn't just a millionaire. He was a millionaire who was on television. He started many different businesses. A Trump Tower says Trump on it. He knew how to sell his name. And he always knew that. You know, he was in Home Alone 2, for God's sakes. You know, he has like
he was?
Yeah, he was. He has like a tiny little
role. Can't watch that movie.
And it's just like, it's like 2 seconds, but he's like the rich guy. Like, I remember growing up, when you thought of someone rich, like, you would say, like, I'm not Donald Trump. You know, like, he knew how to get his name out there.
Even when I was, like, about 12 years old, living in England, I knew who Donald Trump was. The you know the movie Gremlins?
Yes.
Gremlins 2, the sequel?
Very good. Very very funny. Gremlins 2 is very funny.
Gremlins 2 is set in New York. And there's a character called Clamp in it, who has a tower called Clamp Tower. And, you know, so he's kind of all part of the popular consciousness.
He is part of the
very good
culture.
Salesman, very good at using the media to get his name known.
Yeah.
And part of that was saying controversial things. Like, can you remember any of the controversial things that he said during the campaign?
Yes, because I just watched yesterday. So they just had the vice presidential debates. And I didn't watch it. I would just watch like highlight clips, things that are in the news. And it, you know, they were saying Mike Pence basically spent the whole debate just saying, no, he didn't say that. And it was a cut of Mike Pence, of Tim Kaine, the running mate of Hillary Clinton, saying Donald Trump said this. And then Mike Pence saying he didn't say that. And then them cutting to a clip of Donald Trump saying
that.
Exactly that. One thing being that we're going to round up
Muslims.
All Muslims in the U.S. and make them register.
Yeah, he said we're gonna until we sorted all this out.
Yeah.
Meaning terrorism.
Right.
Yeah. Until we sorted all this out, we're not gonna let any Muslims in, and all the Muslim people will have to leave until we find out what's going on.
Which is very vague.
Until we find out what's going on.
But he did say, I think at another time, round up. And
so to round them up.
And register.
Which is the sort of thing the police do. They like round up
That's
criminals.
That's the sort of thing that Nazis did to Jews.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyways, so that was...
Well, that and then, you know, building a wall, the famous building a wall between the states and Mexico.
We're going to build a wall
And Mexico is going to pay for it, of course. That's
right.
Anything, you know, saying, you know, talking about women, saying, you know, they're disgusting. One of the things he said about women... they should get equal pay when they do equal work. The list goes on and on.
Also,
and on.
that women who have an abortion should be punished.
Should be punished. That was brought up in the debate, and Mike Pence said no, it shouldn't, and he was on record saying, "Do you think there should be a punishment for women who have abortion?" He said, "Absolutely."
Right.
Sorry.
Also, you slammed the table.
I slammed the table. I was told not to slam the table, but.
This is politics.
It's upsetting.
Also, he said about Mexicans, he said, you know, they're coming over here and they're rapists, they're drug dealers.
Yes, all Mexicans are rapists.
Okay. And the list goes on. He personally insulted Carly Fiorina, one of the other candidates. He made all sorts of suggestions. He suggested that Hillary Clinton should be assassinated.
Yes, you know? Yep, he did. Yep.
He made all sorts
because she's going to take the people's guns away and so...
Right, so maybe, you know, gun control people maybe want to do something about that.
He also said that she didn't have, just in their last debate, which is hilarious, she doesn't have enough stamina.
Right.
And I was like, she was Secretary of State.
Right. So
she had a good response.
She had a very good response, which was like when you've traveled to 117 countries and she went off her resume, she's like, you can talk to me about stamina.
Right. Yeah.
But we all know stamina is just a code word for like, she's not a man.
Right.
Really, that's what that was. She doesn't have enough stamina because she's a woman and women are weak.
Well, unfortunately, it was really unfortunate for her that she got pneumonia. Yeah. You know, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
A good timing for her, you know.
She got pneumonia, and there was footage of her nearly collapsing.
Yeah, and so that just didn't help.
Did you see all of the crazy conspiracy theory stuff that came out?
Double
after that health problem she had?
That she was actually dead.
She was dead, and she was replaced by a body double. Or that she's got some terrible life-threatening disease and they're not telling us about it. Or that she has these seizures and there's...
I think you've answered your own question.
What do you think of all that stuff? Like, all the questions about Hillary's health?
Well, Donald Trump is older than her, I believe.
About one year.
I'm just saying, like, if we're talking about someone being old, he is old.
Right. Yeah. She's going to be 69 in November, and he will be 70 in November.
And so then he would be the old. I think he, would, if he won, he would be the oldest president to date.
Oldest president.
I thought Reagan.
I think Reagan was younger when he was
first elected.
Yeah. Okay. So if Trump gets elected,
that's your 78. It could be 74 to 78 year old grandfather who is batshit crazy. Can we curse on this podcast?
Yeah.
I can say fuck.
You could.
Oh no, is that too far? That's too far.
My position on that is that that my listeners understand that they are having they're listening in on a conversation between friends, and you would normally have sworn
and
in that
real English speakers. So sometimes that word comes.
Yeah, sometimes we swear, and that's the point of this podcast. It's meant to be unfiltered, authentic English. Yeah. So don't swear any more than you normally would.
No, I wouldn't. But I just want to say fucking crazy because this is another level. I don't recommend to anyone learning English, you just say the F word.
Don't swear, ladies and gentlemen.
Because people, it's very strong. And sometimes, because I moonlight as an English teacher as well. And sometimes people, they want to sound authentic. And so they curse.
Yeah.
But when you're teaching a business English class, I'm like, let me just say in business English. Bad idea.
My general position on swearing is that I swear in the podcast because it's kind of the way that we normally talk. Mm-hmm. But I always say to my students and listeners, like, be very careful about using swear words because it's so difficult to do. And if you get it a little bit wrong or if it's slightly inappropriate, it's going to sound really bad. So my general advice is to those of you listening to this, if you're thinking about swearing to make it sound more natural, I would say don't. Try and find other ways of doing it. I know that sounds a bit hypocritical, like I'm saying do what I say, don't do what I do.
Yeah.
But you'd agree with me, wouldn't you?
I do agree with you. But in this case, if you want to say Donald Trump is fucking crazy, that is totally accurate.
Extremely crazy. Extremely.
The more eloquent way to say
thoroughly.
It.
Thoroughly.
Yes.
Thoroughly crazy.
I guess we didn't say outright who were supporting the election. Well, but I think it's clear that I'm a huge Trump fan. And
right, of course. I guess you're voting Hillary.
I've already voted.
You've already voted?
Yeah.
Absentee ballot.
Did you vote already?
No, I'm going to get my absentee ballot any day now, I hope.
I hope so too.
No. I don't know if you guys are happy to put your cards on the table and tell us who you voted for, or you're going to vote
for.
Well,
we don't. There's not... For a president, you have Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump basically, and then there's the Libertarian guy.
There's two other candidates who are really just not even worth mentioning.
Gary Johnson, I think, is his name.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I voted for Hillary Clinton. I have no problem saying that.
Okay.
And I will.
Okay, all right. I know that there will be people listening to my podcast out there who are Trump fans. And I guess that they're just going to have to, you know, I don't know, just
there are a lot.
Up.
I mean, there are a lot.
There are a lot.
There are a lot of Trump fans.
But even those who are not Americans, because it seems to me that within America, of course, there are lots of Trump fans, you know. But outside the States, I think most people see Trump as a crazy, you know, extremist. but there will be people in the international community who think he's great as well.
Well, but I think they think he's great. It's like Putin thinks he's great because he's like, I can crush this guy and it's going to be fantastic. Yeah, yeah, you know what I mean? Like the people, I don't know. I think the people who think he's great for reasons beyond just saying like, man, he's a great candidate. No, it's like he will suit our interests for what we have to do, perhaps. I don't know.
I remember I posted something on Facebook about, do you remember when the MPs in the British House of Commons were talking about Trump?
And they wanted to like forbid him.
They wanted to ban him from coming and they were insulting him and stuff like that. I posted that on Facebook and someone left a comment saying, you know, just basically someone disagreed and found it offensive.
They might find
this whole conversation offensive if that's the case. But, you know, I'm sorry, but we think he's an idiotic lunatic.
And I really think that, like, I'm not, like, I have someone who worked in politics. I have friends who are I have friends who are Republicans. You know, I'm not someone who just says, oh, I hate anyone who just thinks differently than me.
Yeah.
I truly believe that this man is a narcissistic, pathological liar, megalomaniac. Like, I think mentally he is deranged, seriously. No, like, he has typical narcissistic qualities. Like,
definitely.
And it's not just me not agreeing with a party. It's me looking at someone who I think is actually very dangerous.
Well, I think this is what we kind of said in the beginning about the Republican Party. It's like, it doesn't seem like he's representative of the party as like the moral standards of the party, how many people define the Republican Party. And when he became the official Republican nominee, lots of Republicans didn't want to back him.
Yeah.
The whole Bush family didn't want to back him.
Said publicly, maybe not George W. Bush, but I think maybe his daughters or his...
No, I think
some of them have come out and said, like, no, we don't support
George Bush Sr.
George Bush Sr.
didn't want to.
Yeah.
And I think George W.
Also,
partly because of what, you know, how we treated Jeb.
Right.
But also, I mean, I just think, you know.
He's not representative of the Republican Party.
So that's where I think, you know, you have to be kind of careful to separate, you know, a Republican from Donald Trump. You know,
it's Sarah, not the same.
Not
you know,
same thing.
What we're against is Trump as a personality, as who he is, you know, and really this person doesn't seem like a good idea to be leading
anything. I mean, when you read, sorry to interrupt you, but when you go into his campaign, the types of there was a really good New Yorker article about a man who wrote Trump's biography. I don't know if it was in the 80s or 90s. I couldn't even finish the article because it was so upsetting to me, but it's really good. You get inside the mind of Trump, and this biographer was like, I regret writing this, being his ghostwriter, because I helped propel him. This book was like a bestseller, and I helped propel him more into the spotlight. Anyways, but my point is, you can see, like, he's not a rational thinker. The people that he works with on his campaigns, how he prepares, just everything is like, that's not someone you want leading a country.
And you also get the impression he's really not very well informed about things like foreign policy.
No.
He's not really educated about all of the issues.
No.
Do you really think then, do you think that he really means the things he's saying? Or do you think that he's saying those things just in order to bring attention to himself?
I don't even think he's that calculated. I don't think he knows what he's saying. I think he just says what he says. It's like a continual stream flowing out.
But I do think he's a natural salesman, and he's naturally good at publicity, and I think that he's able to he is intelligent.
I think he's definitely intelligent. In a certain way, he's intelligent. More than intelligent, I think he's confident. I think he's overconfident.
Yeah, I don't know if it's intelligence. I think it's confidence.
Yeah.
I think there's a difference.
Mm. Well, there's definitely a difference, but it's a kind of intelligence what he's doing.
He's got a kind of functional intelligence, yeah, which is that he's able to just sort of get away with anything, and he's able to turn everything around to his advantage to an extent.
It's kind of like it's like the popular guy in high school. He's kind of a jerk, and he's not that smart, but everyone wants to be around him, kind of.
Yeah.
Like I get what you're saying, but I just don't want to. I just can't give him
credit,
that much credit, because I don't think he cares. I mean, I don't think he cares. Like, he knows. I think he knows he doesn't know some stuff, and I don't think he cares. When it comes to the foreign policy, it's clear he doesn't know the foreign policy. Well, anything foreign policy.
Like, I read an article in the New York Times, and it was interesting. It was an opinion, and the guy said, like, he doesn't want to win. Like, and it kind of made me think, like, if he wins, he would be paid, like, his salary would be $400,000 a year, which is what a president gets paid,
right?
Which is, you know, a lot of money, but for Donald Trump, that's nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and so that's like his, not only cut. Like, he would have a responsible job for the first time in his life. He would be underpaid, you know, for what he's used to. He wouldn't have the freedom to just travel anywhere he wants. So I'm like, why would he want to be president?
What?
You know, like,
it's
he
power.
Has, yeah, it's a power already, it's but a, yeah, he has ego. So much already. Yeah. I wonder, like, is he, I kind of feel like he just said, okay, I'll play this game, it's fun, and I'm just going to say whatever I want.
Yeah.
If they vote for me, great, because at least that way he's not lying. That means that if he gets elected president based on what he's been saying, that means that he doesn't have to transform himself when he gets into office. Where if he tries to lie in kind of what most politicians do just to get into office, then, you know, it wouldn't. Then he'll have to change when he. I think he's saying, okay, if they vote for me based on how I am now, then I will, and so that's why I'm going to say everything I want to say. And okay. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. So he's basically got nothing to lose, kind of thing.
Yeah, and well, I think he's already gotten enough proof that the way he is and what he's saying, you know, people are speaking to lots of people. It's speaking to
a lot of people.
You know, even if he's at 30%, 30% of 300 million is a lot of people.
That's a lot of people.
You know, it's almost 100 million people.
Right.
So, I'm going to go to what Sebastian said, mm-hmm, if I can, because I think if he does, I totally agree with that assessment. I think if he would win, there would be a lot of problems for him, because thank God in America, we do have a checks and balance system. The president just can't do anything that they want to do. And so either he would get really frustrated because he can't do whatever he wants to do. He can't just say, okay, build this wall. Okay, well, Mr. President, that has to go through Congress. We have to get the money. Like, yeah, you know, there's steps of how things
work. You almost have more liberty as a filthy rich man in the States than you do as president.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you have, of course, this power and this prestige that you have as a president. But, you know, if you're a multi-millionaire, which he is, if not billionaire, he's a multi-billionaire, I think.
Yeah.
Or at least his companies. Yeah. You know, he's more free.
He's more free. And so the problem is that he will very quickly either end up breaking the law, stepping over a constitutional boundary, doing something.
Too many executive orders.
The Democratic Party, if he went, they are going to be on him, waiting for him to make a mistake, because he does, but then... You know.
Even just like little things, like taking off in the middle of the week to go, you know, to his golf course in Scotland, he wouldn't be able to do that as president, you know,
yeah,
which he can do all the time now.
Yeah. So
okay, why is he doing it? Why is he running for president?
He's a megalomaniac.
Because he's an egomaniac, yeah, megalomaniac. You know,
he wants the power.
Do you remember the whole birtha thing, which,
yes,
was like a conspiracy theory about Barack Obama's birth certificate? And he was like one of the prime proponents.
He was the person who really put that idea, yeah, out there. That, yeah, was him.
He did. He said there was some big dinner or like press agency dinner where they both attended, and at the time Donald Trump had been putting into question Barack Obama's birthplace, suggesting he wasn't really an American, and he was like, show me the birth certificate and all this stuff, and it led to another conspiracy theory that people had, which was that Barack Obama was not really American, etc.
That he's Muslim.
Muslim and stuff like that.
And he did this for years, and in recent years.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
recently.
Yeah, that's so, right. And he recently has said, oh, actually, no, I didn't really believe it. He has recently
He had a press
admitted.
Conference 2 weeks ago where he said, no, I never thought that the president was not American, and that was Hillary Clinton.
Oh,
that's
really?
That's what he said. He said he blamed it on Hillary Clinton, saying she was the starter of the birther movement, which is a total lie.
Mm.
And
Oh my goodness.
Like this is why it's so frustrating.
But you know what? I remember seeing it. I remember seeing footage of it where Barack Obama then went up to do his part of the speech and he completely destroyed Trump. And it was brilliant. I mean, it was really funny and really, really well done. And he basically, Obama said, you know, well, you can go back to your TV show, your reality TV show that you do. I've got to run the country.
Right.
I'm the president. You just have some crappy little TV show. And I think Trump really took it badly in the worst possible way.
I think this was his scorned lover moment.
I think that was maybe the sort of deciding moment where Trump was like, all right, okay, Obama, I'll give you a run for your money. I'll become president just to show him, just because he couldn't
give it to him.
He just couldn't take the ego. You know, it was just an ego trip for him. I don't know. Maybe, although maybe Trump really does believe that Mexicans should be thrown out and we should build a wall and that police officers should go into the homes of Mexican families and pull out the parents of children who, you know, that he actually thinks that Muslims should be turned away at the airport and that, you know, he's somehow going to persuade Mexico to build a wall and that, you know, abortion mothers can be punished and all this stuff. Maybe.
And about evading his taxes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Maybe he really does believe all this stuff, or maybe he's just an out-of-control egomaniac.
But that's the thing, and that's why we're fascinated with him, I think, now. I mean, you know, we haven't talked at all about Hillary. It's been like a half hour and we've just been talking about Trump. It's so fascinating.
There's so much to talk about, but we have to talk about Hillary too. But before we do that, right, I just wonder who is voting for Trump or who supports Trump and why do they support him? Hello, everybody. I'm just interrupting the conversation here because this is the halfway point. It was quite a long conversation. We got quite involved in the whole subject and we talked for about an hour. So this is about the halfway point in the conversation. So I've decided to split it into two parts and this is basically the end of part one. So I wonder how this has been for you so far. Have you managed to understand everything? I expect that this is quite a difficult one to keep up with because we're all talking rather quickly and there's lots of different opinions and things flying around. Plus, we're also talking about a subject that might have a bit of specialist vocabulary relating to it, American politics and the presidential election. But as we know, it's important, isn't it, to listen to a combination of things that you can understand without too much trouble and also things that are more challenging to listen to. So that's all part of the philosophy of what I try to do on this podcast, is to combine comprehensible stuff with slightly more challenging listening comprehension. Also, I imagine that there are opinions going around in your mind. Maybe some of you out there listening to this are huge supporters of Donald Trump. And in fact, maybe some of you can't stand Donald Trump. I don't know what you think about the subject. But as ever, I'm interested to read your comments. Just make sure that you think a little bit carefully about what you're going to write on the page. Don't just vent your anger in the comments section. If, for example, you strongly disagree with some of the opinions that you've heard in this episode so far. If you do disagree, don't just get all angry and write some, you know, abusive comment. Actually think it through and try to construct some sort of fairly well-developed argument, even if it's just a short series of comments or something. And I look forward to reading what you have to say. So we talked a lot about Donald Trump there in part one, but part two focuses on Hillary Clinton a little bit more, so we start to talk about that. So a bit of balance. Trump, apparently, in part one, and Hillary Clinton in part two. Amongst other things, we also go on to talk about various other aspects of the election. Okay, then, so I'm now going to stop talking And you will hear the jingle at the end of this episode. But part two should be available to you very soon. Thank you very much for listening all the way to the end of this episode. And you can now, I expect you can now listen to part two. It should be available to you now. All right then. So that's it. That's the end. Speak to you soon. Bye. 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 Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.